This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
Yes, sir.
Time for the Falcons report.
Back! Big Beasley slams it through the gut to touchdown Atlanta. Julio, touchdown!
The 5 o'clock Falcons report on Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell, brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. It is a Monday. It's a Falcon Monday, guys. Brought to you by and powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. We start every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Don't be down in the dumps. We've talked to a lot of Falcon fans here over the last 24 hours who feel like the season is over, Mike.
They're suicidal.
And the season's not over. And we've been saying this today, and we've been talking to you guys.
Well, I mean, the season is almost over.
It's not over. It's not over until they say it's over.
And by the way, we were just talking amongst ourselves what we do. Craig pointed out, you know, this show opener for the 5 o'clock hour, which, again, states we're talking Falcons, is very nostalgic. You feel the nostalgia when we play this? You know what you hear in that, if you listen closely, guys, is you hear, oh, my goodness, a Julio Jones touchdown.
Yes, this is true.
We haven't had any of those this year. And then you also had a sack by Vic Beasley. And those are few and far between. He has won this year. So it's kind of, you know, indicative, unfortunately, that we're not hearing that this year. That's part of the problem. And we'll talk more about all the things. It's basically, it was a whoop, and Dan Quinn talked about it with Arch and Wes. He mentioned it in the press conference. There's no getting around it. You were beaten in all three phases in this game up in Pittsburgh.
Well, you get a punt blocked again. You couldn't stop them when you needed to. You couldn't get off the field. And your offense stalls, you know, especially in the second half after having some success in the first half where it looked like it might be another close game. Guys, when we talk about the team and we talk about where we are, and I mean this, there is a frustration level, certainly. But let's put things in perspective, all right? And we can get all crazy, and maybe we will in a couple of weeks. And I know people are like, Dukes, Bell, push the panic button. It's time. I am, but I'm not pushing it for maybe the reasons you think. I'm not pushing it because I think the season's over. I brought this up earlier. I'll repeat it because I think it's worth repeating. There have been 8 or 9 teams that have come back from 1-4 records that have made the playoffs. It's not impossible. It's not out of the question. The Chiefs are the most recent team that did it in 2015 where they ran off 10 in a row after starting 1-5. We've seen this before. So the difference is that those teams have the injuries we have. Did they have some of the things that we have to overcome? But, Mike, let's talk about what is wrong, or at least what's going on with this football team right now. And, you know, we've got all these injuries on the defense. That's a given. You got 5 starters. Right. Take 5 starters off of any defense in the NFL, you're not the same defense. But the one thing we thought that might keep us lit was the offense, because they've been so good over the last few weeks.
And then, unfortunately, the blitz packages, and give credit to D. Orlando Ledbetter, who told us last Wednesday that some of the looks out of the 3-4, and again, just like us, yes, technically we're a 4-3, but you're in nickel almost 70% of the time. But the looks they were throwing, the zone blitzes, confusing the tackles, guys getting free rein to come back there and knock Matt Ryan on his keister. I mean, you gave up 4 sacks in the first half alone. You know, free missing in pass protection. We talked about why weren't we going with quicker plays, slants. I know when I say quicker, but get the ball out of Matt's hands, 1-2. What Andy Dalton was doing for much of the game until he went to man-to-man a couple weeks ago. Where was that? That change on your on the fly. Does Dan Quinn talk to Sark during the game? I mean, Dan's a defensive coach. He knows darn well as a defensive coach what the Steelers are doing. Can you say to Sark, I mean, what we were just talking about? It seems like we get so static and locked into some of the game plan at times on Sunday.
When I hear Dan Quinn, and after the game, Coach Quinn said 2 things that stood out to me. And it makes me wonder, as a Falcon fan, are these things not being communicated? One was when he was asked about Julio's involvement. And again, this is not a bang on Julio day. It's fact. Our best receiver didn't catch a ball until the third quarter. That's a problem, okay? Especially in a game where you're struggling and you need to try to create some plays. He did have 9 targets. He caught 5 or 6 balls, I believe, for 62 yards. But, Mike, Coach Quinn said, one, we need to get him involved. And I'm saying to myself, okay, Is that not being communicated? Here's the other thing he said, and I want you to hear it. He talks about committing to the run. And Coach Quinn, we didn't commit to the run against the Seals. Now, you're going to say, well, we couldn't run it because they were blitzing and we really couldn't do anything. But this is like 2 weeks now, Mike, where we've heard Coach say we need to be more committed to the run, and yet we've not done it.
In the run game, it adds to the toughness of our team. And it carries over onto third and short yards. It carries over into four-minute opportunities. It carries over into our play action. So there'll be some games when we won't get as many long runs, but they're very important to get the explosive passes. So it's part of our balance of what we do. And we just so happen that we love our runners and how we get going, and that's more touches for them to have a chance for an explosive play.
I mean, Free, this is kind of indicative of what we saw in the Eagles game. He had, six carries. And there's eight carries for Free. He did break one for 20. Matt Ryan was the second leading, as far as big play. He had 10 yards on a scramble for the running game.
And looked good on that scramble, by the way.
But 19 carries, that's not enough. 62 yards in the run game. So after all our focus on how the replacement players, the backups, aren't obviously up to the task, now the offensive line goes and gets blown out. So, and this is something which I haven't had to talk about because we're putting up 800 yards in the last 2 weeks against the Saints and the Bengals in losses. But the offensive line, this was the patchwork offensive line that I rail against. Why, before Ridley got drafted, I was going offensive line in the first round. And we pay lip service to it in the draft. We go and get free agents. We patchwork it together, and we did it again this year. But this was something we hadn't had to talk about until the Steelers threw blitzes at us, which the guys couldn't handle.
Five catches for 62 yards for Julio. Again, no touchdowns. And that's not the point. The point, as we were getting to, is third quarter, way too late to try to get him involved. Meanwhile, Antonio Brown really came on in the second half, and you saw him, you know, catch a couple of touchdowns. Here's Coach Quinn talking about that this team will be better. And if we're going to ultimately turn this thing around and get to where we want to be, not only do we need to get a little bit healthy, that's got to happen. We know Neal's not back, and we know Rico's not back. They're not coming back. Debo is on his way back. Grady is on his way back. How far away is Grady? We're not sure. Here's Coach Quinn.
Don't expect to stay here. We've made sure our locker room doesn't have a man think otherwise. While others outside may focus down the road, for us and for the team, we're focused on where we are right now.
Now, Mike, a lot of missed tackles yesterday, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was another game. Duke Riley, we talked about it, the 3rd and 13. Vic Beasley jumping off sides. Undisciplined play, a lot of penalties. Special team gaffe. But getting back, we missed a ton of tackles. We're making, you know what? We're making Connor look like Le'Veon Bell. By the way, we're missing tackles on this guy. You can't ole Carl and try to wrap him with one arm. You can't do that in Pop Warner, let alone the NFL. So when does the coaching kick in? When do these guys get better, or are these backups just not up to the task? And I'm beginning to get that realization on the defensive side. So that means your offense is going to have to carry the load, and they couldn't get it done either yesterday.
404-741-0929. That is the number for you to dial us up. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Here's Coach Quinn on the missed tackles against the Steelers.
We definitely have a few that need more work on tackling, and that's going to continue on, you know, through this week, through the next week, and like day in, day out. Week in, week out, after you play well, after you don't, like that's not going to change. So, not to the standard that I'm hoping it needs, not to the standard it needs to be at.
Now, another part of the storyline happened late in this game yesterday, and that is Matt Ryan being sacked, stripped, recovery by the Steelers for a touchdown, and Matt leaves the game. There are various reports out of Pittsburgh, Mike, about Matt getting x-rays, what was going on, was his foot hurt? Well, Coach Quinn did answer that question today and said that Matt Ryan did have an x-ray yesterday, but he is 100% ready to go. There is no injury. There is nothing to report. So that is the situation with Matt Ryan.
That's the word from Quinn, so we'll take him at face value there. And if Matt can't give you mobility and can't move around, I mean, like I've been surprised. I've actually been pleasantly surprised by how Matt has moved and picked him up and picked up some first downs when it's been there. So let's hope that doesn't become an issue against the Bucs. Grady Jarrett, by the way, Quinn said maybe by Thursday. And if it's that late in the week, that doesn't bode well, but we're hoping on the optimistic side that Grady gets back there. But you're decimated by injuries. Your backups aren't capable right now. Maybe they get better. Remember, I used Jalen Collins as an example. Pressed him into service. He was a lost puppy, too.
Yeah.
But he got better. He got better to the point where you could actually use him in the Super Bowl because, remember, Trufant was out. Are these guys going to get better? And by the time they get better, it's going to be too far down the season where we're at a number where we can't get back. Because the good news, guys, and here's the good, there is good news, by the way, and the Falcon Report brought to you by Domino's, large three-topping pizza, $7.99, carry-out only. If your favorite team lets you down, pizza never lets you down, so go grab one tonight. Carl, the good news is the Buccaneers, and I did an interview with JP, our buddy down in Tampa today, they're terrible on defense, too. They're awful. They can't stop anything. They're decimated with injuries, too, in their secondary. So we should be able, probably like the Bengals game, to get what we want in the passing game against them. You got them. The Giants are stepping all over themselves. I mean, Eli Manning, unfortunately, Carl, is doing what Eli does if you're a Giants fan. You know, Odell Beckham gave you a brain fart the other day in Carolina. But the good news is everybody in the NFC, save for the Rams, we could get. We're going to see what the Saints do tonight. Drew Brees is going to make some passing history, probably become the all-time NFL leader in passing yards, Carl. But the Rams are the only guys that are undefeated.
Right.
There are 10 teams in the NFC that are 500 or worse right now.
Well, and I know when situations like this happen with our team, you start looking at, you know, statistically the numbers and the chances and all of this stuff. But, you know, you talk about bad defenses, and this is the NFL. You guys do realize the Steelers were giving up what, Bo? They were 22nd in the league in rushing?
They were 21st in rushing and I think like
27th,
28th giving up in passing.
We didn't do jack against them.
But the one thing they were good at was getting after the passer.
Correct.
We talked about that
last week. And that's the thing. So, you know, I only bring that up to say these defenses that we think we're going to get the best of, we thought we'd get a little bit of with the Steelers. Think about this. Everybody, the over-under was 57. Everybody's going, oh, it's going to be over. We couldn't even barely get a first down in the second half.
That's what makes it so frustrating. You get Ben Roethlisberger to do something dumb. He puts that ball up for grabs. DeMonte Casey basically Randy Mosses Antonio Brown. And now it's 13-10. So despite the missed opportunities in the first half, you're getting the ball to start the second half. And your offense can generate nothing. You can't pick up the blitzes. You can't establish the run. And then, of course, the rest is history. It's very frustrating because I can be honest with you. This is a game I kind of in my mind mentally circle as an L. The game's against the Saints, the game's against the Bengals. To lose the games at home, that's the thing which really irks me. We got five more home games.
Right.
Let's hope we make the most of them.
Bo, you got one more thing to
add? Well, that's the thing. We ran the ball as well as we have all year against a team that hadn't given up a 100-yard rusher in like 22 games, which was Carolina. Okay? You lit up a good – Cincinnati's not a bunch of scrubs. They have a very good front four. They have a good secondary. They're a little banged up in the middle. So you lit them up. The Saints aren't – an awful one. They're not great against a pass, but up front they can get after you. And you scored 30-plus against all those teams.
Right. Yeah.
Just one of those days.
Your defense is weak. This is the one where the offense let you down, too. We had no expectations for the defense, and the offense was hot garbage.
But that's
there.
Because all the pressure is on the offense now. All the pressure is on the offense to deliver. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
artesian. Now, how do you spell it?
A-R-T-E-S-I-A-N, artesian.
Okay. Now, the reason why we say that is because Bo brought the word in today, and Bo said there's two ways to spell this, just so you guys know. So I'm giving you the information.
Well, how would you spell it in Noonan?
A-R-T-E-S-I-A-N.
Artesian.
Okay.
I went to high school with a guy named Artesian Jenkins.
All right. Text it to 72881. However you spell it, that's the word for this hour. It's your chance to win $1,000.
Artesian, like an aqueduct, guys. Think about water traveling. Never mind. Artesian. Doesn't matter what it is. Just spell it. A-R-T-E-S-I-A-N. You text that very strange word to 72881, and somebody at Intercom should have his head handed to him for that kind of silliness.
All right. Coming up, it's our big story. What's your biggest concern? We'll actually open up the phone lines for you to chime in. Defense, running backs, Julio. I have one for you that you might not even be thinking about next. It is a Falcon Monday, guys, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. It is Dukes and Bell. We're going to talk more about the Falcons coming up in our big story. What's up, man?
No, but before we got to get the word thing right, because we got trouble, we got drama behind the scenes here. Again, it's not Bo, like, for the record, it is not Bo Morgan's fault. The guys at Intercom handed him the word artesian. Some people believe the word could be artisan. But again, we're like Ron Burgundy.
Have they seen the email, though?
We read what's put in front of us.
Does it matter what the word is as long as you spell it right?
That's correct.
But there's a difference between artesian and artisan.
You're not given a definition. A-R-T-I-S-I-A-N. That's the word. Text it.
I still think it would be artisan, but that's just me. I still think there was a miscommunication.
Listen to Bo's like, I don't give a damn.
I just think there was a miscommunication between corporate in Philadelphia, where the corporate offices are, and here. But anyway, well, either way, God bless and good luck. And try again if you feel you want to get multiple spellings.
Wait, did you just tweet this out? Did you just?
Yes.
Just, okay.
No, I said we're like Ron Burgundy. We read whatever you hand to us.
There's no doubt.
You know, the word is asparagus. Whatever they put in front of us, we read. I mean, that's, you know how it works around here.
All right, man. Coming up, guys, we're going to talk more about this crazy weekend. Dogs win. Obviously, Georgia Tech played an early game, but a big win at Louisville.
We got that right. I predict Randy was in for you on Friday. I was all over Georgia Tech. And by the way, that's one of the few teams I got right in my 16 parlay.
Oh, I was going to ask you how you did in that.
Oh, a lot of suffering, pain, Alabama, that Arkansas game. You know, I'm glad to see Nick Saban go off for once because that hurt me. I had Alabama minus a 35.
First time they didn't cover all year, but yep. Who's paying attention to that? Yeah, what about it, Bo? Go ahead. Give us the picks if you got them right now, and then we're going to get into the big story.
Oh, I've got the picks. Let's see, Mike won on Thursday night with the Pats minus 10.5.
Yeah.
He lost the Ravens.
Yep.
He lost the Hurricanes.
Yep.
And he lost Syracuse.
1-3.
Syracuse, that was the other one. That was an overtime game, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, and Arch, by the way, I even got, you know, when you're looking as a gambler for that validation, Archer, who's up and doing calling both games in Pittsburgh this week, he goes, oh, yeah, Syracuse, yeah, they're going to take care of business. So I got that, like, yeah, feeling good about myself. No luck.
Well, and you got, I'll give you some credit. The weather delay kind of screwed that up.
Yeah.
I think there was right. an over an hour weather delay.
Right.
Carl, you have a game tonight with the Saints minus 7. You also had the Rams minus 7, which didn't work out for you. You also had Bama minus 35.
Rams,
didn't work out
Rams
for you.
Rams won, but they didn't cover, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And the Miami Hurricanes did not work out well for you either. So right now you're 0-3 with a chance to salvage a 1-3. So you both could be 1-3 at right. the end of the weekend.
What's right. the overall record now?
Mike, you are now 10-10,
Ugh.
500.
Ugh.
Carl, you are currently sitting at 5-14.
Oh.
Mike, 500 looks very good.
It does.
Yeah, but you don't make, here's the thing for you gamblers out there. This thing called the VIG, you don't make any money.
Yeah, that's true.
You're negative.
All right, man, we'll see what happens tonight. By the way, I just, not because I like the Saints. I picked him because I think Breece gets this record at home.
Yeah. I mean, the Redskins are so hard to handicap because you just never know what's going to show up. Are we going to see Adrian Peterson take some of the air out of the ball tonight? I think that's kind of like what Gruden's brother would want to do, Jay. By the way, John Gruden, did you see real quick, and we'll get to the headline, the big story. If you guys didn't see it, and we'll play the sound later in the show. I'll get Craig to pull it up. Philip Rivers, literally under center, goes, "This is the defense?" And basically yells out to his wide receiver to run a seam route and says it in the clear without any kind of code or any kind of
Omaha!
I mean, literally goes, "You're running this defense? Yo, seam route." I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's kind of fun for Philip Rivers to have some fun, but the Raiders are a laughing stock right now with Gruden, and you could argue they didn't deserve to win the game against the Browns that the refs kind
of
gave.
No doubt. You know, speaking of the Browns, just real quick, and they win over the weekend. They're, what, 2-2-1, I think, on the season. But they should have beat the Saints.
Right.
Right? They tied the Steelers to start the season. And I'm just thinking, and then the Raiders game. The Browns guys could easily be 4-1 right now.
Right.
Which, I mean, you know, and I know we laugh because it's the Browns, but they've been in every game thus far. And yesterday, I think they went in overtime, if I remember seeing the score correctly. Yeah. But, yeah, man.
It was the ugliest game-winning field goal you'll ever see. It was like a frisbee. The thing is kind of – it never got more than 20 feet off the ground, but it cleared the crossbar.
It's a third overtime game in five games already. All right, guys, it's Dukes and Bell. Here's the deal. You can hit us up, 404-741-0929. We're going to take a few of your phone calls. Here's the deal. What are you most concerned about with our Falcons? Craig, let's get to the big story.
Guess what time it is?
Now, it's time for the big story.
Listen to this.
On Dukes and Bell.
11 quarterback hurries. 6 sacks on Matt Ryan. We can talk about all these other things, guys, but the O-line moving forward, to me, is the thing that I'm most concerned about. Because here's the thing. You know, the NFL is a copycat league. Always has been, right? Jet sweeps working, everybody runs jet sweeps. RPOs are working, everybody runs RPOs. Mike, when you see the Falcons and you watch this tape against the Steelers, even though you may go, well, the Steelers run a 3-4, we run a 4-3, the fact is I am zone blitzing us moving forward because I see how it's disruptive right. it was for Matt Ryan. Now, I'm not saying everybody's going to get 6 sacks, but this has got to get fixed.
Well, if Schrader and Matthews can't figure out who's coming from where and the running backs can't pass pro, I mean, yeah, why wouldn't you do that? I mean, this team was clicking on offense, and then the Steelers threw some stuff at you had no answers for. And, we talked about it with Sark. Guys ask us all the time. I'll say it for the second time today. I don't – and we'll ask Dan Quinn on Wednesday when we're up there. Does Matt not have the ability to check out? Is it all about the personnel packages? And why can't Matt? And maybe Matt couldn't diagnose it at the line himself because it was a great job of masking what Pittsburgh was doing. On the flip side, no sacks for us.
None.
Vic Beasley, zero sacks, zero tackles. Now, some of that was because of the packages that they forced us. We didn't get to see maybe Vic and Tack out there as much. Tack left the game briefly for an injury, got back out. But we got zero. I mean, we didn't get Roethlisberger on the ground, and not enough, certainly in the second half, to alter what he was trying to do.
Now, when I brought this up a week or so ago, and guys are like, man, he's playing better. I'm just saying.
You know, the option's already been picked up. For guys that are wondering, the Falcons already picked up the fifth-year option. So Vic Beasley would make $12.8 million next year.
He's going to. Now, moving forward after that, I think that's a big decision that needs to be made in the front office.
It's getting to be an easier decision, isn't it?
Listen, I am not about almost. I'm about job done. That's where I'm at.
I mean, look, we get it. When you lose starters, I don't have to go through the litany of guys. You get it, man. When you lose Pro Bowlers at linebacker, both safeties, Grady Jarrett's out, Debo, we know that. The other guys, the starters, have got to step it up. It's not just about the backups, Carl, who aren't that good. The guys who are supposed to be big money players have got to be big money players.
404-741-0929. All right, guys, you saw what happened yesterday. And to put it plain and simple, we got beat up. The Steelers were a better team yesterday. And I'm fine with saying that. You know, there is no sugarcoating it. But again, and I said this in the 2 and the 3 and the 4, now it's 5. There's no quitting. There's no giving up. And the season is not over. Okay? Those are things that have been said this weekend were a little disturbing. And if you're one of the folks who were saying, oh, we're done, well, then go ahead and ship your stuff off and move on to another fan base.
Right.
Okay? It's not over. And trust me, when it is, or we believe it is, this guy and myself will be the first ones to tell you that we think it's over.
I mean, if you guys, and I don't know how it works in other cities. I do know how it works. You'd have guys going, you know, the Falcons, by the way, they'll come up with some ridiculous stat and spin it. Calvin Ridley's still the leading touchdown man in the NFL. We're not one of those guys, and we're not that type of show. We've always kept it real. We've called out Dan Quinn. Do you not talk to Sark and say, what are we doing here? You know, Dan Quinn's been a great talent evaluator. Not when it comes to Duke Riley. He's not good, okay? We can talk about progress and getting better. Dan Quinn, you whiffed. If you were the guy that decided to tell Dimitroff this was the guy, Duke Riley ain't it, okay? We've had a year now, and now we're 5 games in, and if you're telling me that the light switch is going to go on, I'll believe it when I see it.
Now, let me say this. Because I'm with you. I'm not going to tell you.
But we're not saying the season is over.
No, but I'm not going to tell you you're wrong on Duke Riley. But let me say this. You went from a guy, Mike, that was playing potentially 25 snaps a game to now you're relying on him 60, okay? And he's playing a different position. I don't know if Duke is going to ultimately be the guy we think he can be, but right now, you're right. He is struggling in some areas.
Well, I mean, look, there's things that are instinctual. Okay, some guys come out of the box as rookies, and they go right to the Pro Bowl. And some guys take a minute to get together. Some guys, James Harrison, some guys have to go, Ricardo. They got to go to the practice squad before they get their chance to shine and become stars in the league. If he does, I'll be blown away. Because right now, Carl, he takes bad angle after bad angle. He gets caught in traffic. The instincts aren't there. He's olaying tackles. I just don't see it.
Guys, we're coming back. We're going to take your phone calls. All right, so you guys on hold, stay there. We're going to talk with you because I want to hear from you. I know a lot of folks are frustrated like we are, but we're not giving up and we're not quitting and all of that crap that we've been hearing. 404-741-0929.
I'm sorry to cut you off. You got a bunch of teams, guys, in the league. In the NFC West, everybody's under 500 other than the Rams. In the NFC East, everybody under 500 other than the Redskins. In the NFC North, everybody under 500 except for the Bears. Our division right now, the best in the NFC. But again, guys, we still got the bulk. We got 11 games to play.
That's right.
So, I mean, I'm not ready to throw in the towel, brother, and you shouldn't be either.
What are you most concerned about with our Falcons? We'll talk to you next. Remember, it's a Falcons Monday powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. It is Dukes and Bell. Hope you're having a good Monday. We'll get you caught up on what's going on with the Braves coming up in about 20 minutes. The latest, and last night was electric. A 6-5 win. Freddie goes deep. And the Braves now playing game 4. And we'll see what happens. Hopefully we can get to game 5. Right now, though, we're taking your phone calls. 404-741-0929 on this Falcons Monday. It is provided by, empowered by, should I say, Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. And we've talked about the O-line. Again, I'm not going to make a big deal of it because I think people, you know, Mike, for the last 5 months or so have listened to our program and thought that, you know, maybe we were a little extra when it came to Julio. The fact of the matter is we're five games in and he still doesn't have a touchdown. So, you know, when you talk about not getting a catch until the third quarter of a game yesterday, we can talk about those 100-yard games and the way the offense was clicking. But, you know, when we need our stars to play at a high level and get them more involved, that's something I just don't understand. But some people are saying, hey, I am still concerned about the fact that now we're five games in, about to be six, and our dude still doesn't have a touchdown.
Yeah, and again, Matt, when the pressure got on Ryan, and we talked a lot about how the blitzes were not picked up either by the linemen themselves or the running backs that were supposed to be there for pass pro. I mean, Matt throws for 285 yards, but he was missing wildly at times, overthrowing guys and throwing behind guys. Because he took him out of his comfort zone. And as Squidbilly brought up, we called it the Squidbilly hypothesis a few weeks ago, but it's accurate. You know, when Matt gets in trouble, then he starts forcing it. He's looking for the security blanket, which is number 11. I don't understand how Calvin Ridley got lost in the game plan on Sunday. I mean, that one I don't understand. Because if Julio is being bracketed, which he was at times, okay. Why are you not being able to? And again, Matt's got to have if not a pristine pocket, he's got to have a pocket of some sort, which was not available often on Sunday. And then you had no running game, so Pittsburgh had no reason to respect those play action.
That was really the situation, especially with the pressure they were getting on Matt. Let's grab Kendall here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Kendall, appreciate your patience. You are in the game in Decatur, where it's greater with Dukes and Bell. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Talk to us.
Yeah, man. What can I say, fellas? I mean, I haven't hit the panic button yet. It's been tough with the defensive injuries and whatnot. You know, I thought it was very telling yesterday when I saw Devondre Campbell on the defensive end trying to get a pass rush. I thought that was very disappointing to tell of how effective Vic Beasley really is. I'm trying to keep my head up. What can I say? I'm only a division loss away from really hitting the panic button. But if it does wind up going south, I'm all in on that top five pick with Nick Bosa.
Now here's the thing. As Squidbilly said, we'll have plenty of time to talk about the 2019 draft, Carl. But I mean, the base package and Brooks Reed. You know, you're going to see him in there. Sometimes I'm always wondering too. Why isn't it not attacking Vic all the time? And they've got their plan, but Devondre's going to get that role from time to time to the caller's point. But, yeah, man, frustrating for so many reasons because there still should be a realistic expectation level with the guys who aren't injured, okay? All right, the guys who are out, they can't do anything. That's fine.
Right.
But the guys who aren't hurt, can you give me something? I got zero tackles from Vic, and I didn't get a sack from Vic either.
I'm an Ed Oliver guy, but that's neither here nor there. Joseph, you're in the game with Dukes and Bell. Hey, man.
It's a good D-line draft.
What's going on, Joseph? Oh, come on, Joseph. You got to be ready, man.
Dude, yeah! What are you selling Hello? Cigarettes on the side of the road? What are you doing?
Talk to us. Hey, man, go.
No.
We got to dump you. I can't live like this, Carl.
I can't either. Try to give him a shot, man. You know, we try to give you an opportunity.
I mean, it's not that, like, you know, yeah, you thought you were ready to go and you had a good point. But then you weren't ready to go. I mean, you failed at the moment of truth. Carl hit the button, said hello, and you gave us nothing. And now you just wasted another 30 seconds, as I explained.
You didn't give us anything. Let's talk to Curtis in Johns Creek. Curtis, what's your biggest concern, man? You're in the game. Hey, man.
My biggest concern is big game after big game, third down after important third down throughout since last year through this year. We come up short in the trenches. It's almost like there's a certain type of toughness to go up, make the play, keep the drive going, or win the game. It just doesn't happen. And I'm like, I don't understand why this continues to happen. It's almost like it's a Dan Quinn trend. I have full confidence in Quinn in developing young talent, but it just seems as if when we are faced in physical games, coming up to the line of scrimmage and getting that important third down, on both sides of the ball,
right.
It is not happening.
No, and that's it, brother. You just laid it out.
That's right.
I mean, and I'm looking at how we started the second half, Carl. Remember Matt scrambled on that third down to keep the chains moving?
Oh, yeah.
And then, unfortunately, free, minus three. Ryan passed to Sanu, 1 yard. Third and 12. Short left to Coleman for 8 yards. And then we punt, and then what does Pittsburgh do? Down the field and score, and now it's a two-possession game, and they're off and running. So it's so exasperating. I get you. I hate the zone blocking scheme. I freaking hate it. I've always hated it. Even in 2016, Carl, I hated it. You can still never seem to get short yardage. Tutan Reyes, who joined us 10 years in the NFL a couple weeks ago, remember Twin Peaks in Kennesaw?
Yes, sir.
He was saying it's not that every team is like that, but it seems with the Falcons, we can't get short yardage in the zone blocking scheme.
Well, the game is not hard when you break it down like Curtis did. And Curtis, thanks for listening to John's Creek. Third downs are critical on both sides of the ball. You're either getting off the field or you're moving the chains. It's that simple. I mean, we can talk about all the schematics and scheme and all we want. It's that easy. And if you move the chains, you stay on the field, and more likely you put yourself in a position to score. If you get off the field, you give your offense a chance to get the ball back. We don't do enough of that, especially in games like this yesterday. We just didn't give ourselves an opportunity to do more of that.
And that's why you're in wild Snoo, and then we get a procedure call. Now, again, that's not on Snoo, because Snoo actually would have had you the yard, it looked like. I mean, it might have been measured. But that's why we have to get a little gimmicky at times, Carl, because we can't just bow up and get that yard.
Let's talk to Will in Kennesaw. It is Dukes and Bell. Will, you're in the game. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Talk to us.
Hey, I'm just saying, guys, is it about time that Julio Jones starts to act like Odell Beckham Jr.?
Ring the bell on that, man. Yeah. Well, give me the rock. Give me the rock.
Yeah, I don't know if I want him on TV talking about, you know, dogging out every aspect of the squad like Odell did and then having to apologize. But should he be demanding more?
Right.
I was saying that in the summer, and nobody wanted to hear me. So, yeah, it's way overdue, if you ask me. But, Will, you know, everybody just wants to be laissez-faire in this place and go, well, it's no big deal. Well, he got a $3 million adjustment, and it's still not a big deal.
I agree. And you know what? It definitely made a difference on Sunday because the Giants almost had the Panthers, and that would have been nice for the division.
Right. I know, and Odell Beckham did everything in his power to screw that up, by the way, if you didn't see the muff punt. That was pretty wild. And he starts calling out Eli and the play calling and all that. That's what he does. But, yeah, man, the thing with Julio, it's the great – this might be one of the great mysteries in the NFL.
What's the mystery, Mike?
I mean, how do you not get a guy who's obviously got all the athletic acumen, can go down and give you, I mean, you know, 1,800 yards, maybe 2,000 yards. By the way, he's now third in yardage. He got eclipsed, obviously, by a relatively poor showing by Julio's standard this week. But, I mean, how you can't make that work – by the time Julio had two catches, Antonio Brown had two touchdowns in the game at Heinz Field yesterday. And I'm not making this about Antonio, because Antonio is a bigger crybaby than Odell Beckham, but I'm just saying they find a way to get him like rock.
Makes
I
plays,
almost cussed. I had to stop
he made plays. And this is not solely about Julio. Guys, we've got a lot of other issues, and a lot of people hit me up yesterday and said that, Dukes, there are bigger issues. There are. I'm going to tell you, the offensive line is an issue.
It always has been.
Then you know what? It's been masked very well. Because in games where we're scoring 36 and 37, we're not talking about the O-line. Yesterday, they got demolished.
Right. You're basically not able to run the ball effectively. You ran just enough, certainly, in the Bengals game. We actually had our best running game, ironically, against Kawan Short and the Panthers. But we just it drives me crazy. Guys always say, oh, no, the Calvin Ridley was – I mean, and I get it. You couldn't resist Calvin Ridley when he fell to you there. But maybe in the second round, you got to go get an impact offensive lineman. It aggravates me to no end. And Schweitzer is doing the best he can. That's the thing. It's not like anyone has quit. That just the talent gap there is a problem. The guys aren't good enough to do the job. That's a problem. Mm.
Tony in the car, man. What's going on? You're on with Dukes and Bell. Hey, man.
Hey, this is actual Julio Jones. I want to know, with all that money we're paying Carl Dukes, why is he always on vacation?
Because Carl Dukes has earned his vacation.
Oh, that is why. Oh, you touched the nerve.
That is why. Next question.
No. Seriously, I'm just concerned that a lot of plays, I see Julio out of the game. I don't know if it's his call or if he's hurt or tired, but how come he can't just be a decoy? Too often I'm looking over and I'm seeing dudes just standing there on the sidelines. I attribute our downfall to that and that guy calling in going, hey, Chief.
He's so bad, man. You know what? I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it.
If you don't listen to the end of the show, guys, our game winner, we have some caller-on-caller violence between a guy who likes to say, I'll tell you what, Chief, and that guy.
Tony, I don't know the answer.
And Mitch Evans said it. Vacation, you got to use it or lose it, guys.
I don't.
It's not a privilege. It's a right.
Get a better agent. I don't know if it is because of scheme or play calling or if that's just the way things work. Mike and I brought this up last year. There were critical third ones or third and twos where Julio was not on the field. We didn't have those answers. I'm not going to tell you I know why. I'm scratching my head when it comes to that as well. Hey, guys, a reminder, Kaufman Tire today. Today only. KaufmanTire.com. You get $50 off of four tires today, guys, because the Falcons scored in two quarters. So today is the day for your chance to save some money. Kauffman Tire, the official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons. All right, we've got more to get to. I know more of you guys want to chime in, and you're more than welcome. Listen, we're all trying to figure it out today, right?
Got the big story. United got the win, by the way, although we lose one of the stars for Atlanta United. Carl will explain and see what's going on with the Bravos.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.